Okay. This is going, I can say I'm throwing you off here. No, not everybody has eternal life or the Zoe of God. They don't. Eternal life is God residing in us and having fellowship with Him. That's what eternal life is. And how do I know that? Because that's what Jesus said. In John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son and thy Son also, that thy Son may also glorify you. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. He's about to tell us what eternal life is. He's about to give the biblical definition of what eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, Amen. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen. That's the definition of eternal life, that we know Him and that we know Jesus, Amen. That we have fellowship with Him. That's eternal life. So there's the definition, knowing God and knowing Jesus. So we can say that we cannot know and fellowship with God the Father and Jesus His Son, or that is, have eternal life, except we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. But let me ask you a question. Did anybody ever literally eat the flesh of Jesus and literally drink His blood? That never happened, did it? I don't know of any scripture that says it happened. Well, there's no account of it, so did Jesus lie about it? So there has to be some other something to explain it. He didn't lie about it. He was speaking of His symbolic role as the Lamb of God, the sin offering, the only acceptable sacrifice whereby men may be made free from sin. Now, we understand from several scriptures that God was always against the consuming of blood. Okay, how do we get past that? How do we get past that? God was always against that. In Genesis 9:3, after Noah came from the flood and was resettling the earth, they gave him a new type of food. They had never eaten the flesh of animals before, but now they could do that. In verse 3 of Genesis 9, it says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So, when it came to the various offerings offered by Israel, God forbade the eating of blood. So we know He forbade it for Noah and his family. And when it came to Israel offering sacrifices, He forbade it there too. It says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourns among you eat blood. So why then is Jesus suggesting that we drink blood? It's the blood of the symbolic lamb. It's not literal blood. It's the blood that... See, the symbolic lamb represents Him. He actually did bleed and die. But see, the thing is, He did that as the Lamb of God, but Jesus was not a lamb. Jesus was a man. These are some things to think about. Spiritually, He represented the Lamb of God, but there was never a lamb that could take away sin. There was never a lamb that could take away the sins of men. So, it was symbolic. So, why is Jesus suggesting we drink His blood? I think it's for the same reason that God would not allow Israel to consume blood, because the life was in it. Except you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no life in you. By drinking the cup, which symbolizes His blood, which represents His blood, we are taking in His life into ourselves. Amen. The Lamb of God is a symbolic offering. Jesus was not a lamb. He was a man. He was symbolically a lamb, because no lamb could pay the price for sin. The offering itself was the sacrifice of a human being. Now we're getting over into human sacrifices. That's the stuff of satanic movies, offering human sacrifices. But we are redeemed by human sacrifice. Yes. What's that?
Do they have virgin sacrifices? Christ came from a virgin.
Well, yeah, and he was innocent and pure himself.
Yes.
So the offering itself was the sacrifice of a human being whose blood was more precious than the blood of any animal that could ever be sacrificed. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, "Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So the Bible says he was like a lamb. He wasn't a lamb. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So this whole thing was ordained before the world was ever created. I believe that's the reason for the creation. The word "precious" here means of great price. There has never been blood so precious. Blood so innocent that it could pay the price for the sins of the whole world for all time. So then Jesus symbolically represented the Lamb of God when he offered himself up at Calvary. I'm just going to have to say this. You know, Jesus said, he said at one time, no man takes my life from me. Remember that? And we look at the cross and we look at Calvary and we see Isaiah's version of the suffering servant. That's what we see. The one who was suffered at the hands of evil men. And that's true. It's all true. But Jesus himself said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily.
Amen.
He's the one who offered his own blood. He's the one who went through it and did it on purpose. He wasn't overwhelmed by wicked men. And it says in Revelation that there was a time when they couldn't open the book or loose the seals. And John said, I wept much. But it says then that the angel said to me, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book."
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
And he said, I turned and I saw as it were a lamb that had been slain. I thought we were going to see a lion when we turn around.
Yes.
No, see, that's what heaven sees him as, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. From our perspective, he was the suffering servant, the one who was slain at the hands of wicked men, but he did it on purpose. He said, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again, which is exactly what he did. He could have stopped it at any moment. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But praise God. Anyway, let's give the Lord a praise. Could we do that? Hallelujah. The mighty warrior dressed for battle. Glory to God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah roaring. That's what heaven saw when he went to Calvary. We saw the suffering servant, that there would be nothing about him that we would desire, Isaiah said. Anyway, praise God. Just a little side trail there. So Jesus symbolically represented the Lamb of God when he offered himself up at Calvary. He did it. He offered himself up. It would be cannibalistic for us to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood. But we are not doing that. We are symbolically eating the flesh and symbolically drinking the blood of the Lamb of God, the sin offering given to mankind. And that makes us what? Partakers of the worship. There is worship going on. There has to be a worshiper, there has to be an offering, and there has to be one to receive the worship, and that's God the Father. And the purpose of it is to cleanse us from sin. So, we're almost there, folks. Hang in there. But I think I just want to give you a few things to think about. This will come back to you later. The Last Supper. In Luke 22, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body." He told them they were going to eat his flesh. "This is my body. Here it is. I want you to eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." I want you to do this after I'm gone. I want you to do it again a number of times. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, the cup, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Here's what this cup is. It's my blood, which is shed for you. So what is the New Testament in his blood? The cup of wine. Well, it looks like wine to me. It doesn't look like blood. It's similar, maybe. It is wine, or it is grape juice, but it represents the blood of the new covenant. He says, with desire or great longing, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I will not any more eat thereof till it be fulfilled in the kingdom. The Passover was about to be fulfilled in the kingdom. The Passover represented what Jesus was going to do at Calvary. The lamb was about to be offered up. He gave them the cup of wine and told them to divide it among themselves. He broke the bread and divided it among them. Then he said, this is my body, which is given to you. What's his body? The bread. Well, it just looked like bread to me. It is bread, but it represents the flesh of the sacrificial lamb, which he was about to perform the role of in heavenly places. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as a recollection. Eat this bread as a recollection. A recollection of what? A recollection that his body was broken. A recollection that the lamb was slain upon the eternal altar. Well, why do we need to remember that and bring it to recollection? Why would we need to remember that? Just because we want to memorialize his death? Well, there could be some truth to that. But it says because we tend to get a little dingy as we live in this present evil world, we may need to go back to the sin offering again and examine ourselves. Yeah. So we may need to embrace the lamb again. See, as he ate the bread, Jesus was telling them that I am the Passover lamb. There's nothing in this account that mentions anything about having a lamb at their Passover. But I'm sure they did, because the Passover was a slaying and eating of a lamb. So they're bound to have had one there, but there's never a mention of a lamb. He took the bread, said, this is my body. Took the cup and said, this is my blood. I am the Passover lamb. This is my body, which is given for you. And after they ate the bread, he took the cup and said to them that it represented the new covenant in my blood. Jesus was about to perform his role as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. The bread represented the flesh of the sin offering. The wine represented the blood of the sin offering. The receiving of this bread and this wine is as real for us today as it was for the disciples. Jesus was standing there in the flesh and he said, this is my flesh, eat it. This is my blood, drink it. But he hadn't actually performed the act yet. He hadn't played the role of the Lamb of God yet. He had not gone to Calvary. But yet he was giving them the representative elements of the sacrifice. So they were receiving it before the fact, and we receive it after the fact. But it's as real for us as it was for them. We symbolically eat the flesh and drink the blood of the same eternal sin offering that they ate of and drank of. So, all right, and we're about to receive communion, but I want to bring this other point out right here because I've said it before, and I think people look like, what does he mean by that? It's really not that difficult. The eternal sacrifice. The eternal sacrifice, and I call this section, the eternal sacrifice is still burning. In Hebrews chapter 9, I've got four or five scriptures here. I'll reduce them down to one or two to give you this point across here. Hebrews 9, verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus offered his blood one time and obtained eternal redemption. In verse 25 of Hebrews 9:25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood, the blood of others. Verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So if Christ's offering were not eternal, then he would have had to offer it many times. But he offered it once. Hebrews 10:11, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So he offered one sacrifice of sins. We don't have to get another offering from him. He's already done it, and it's eternal. And I like to think of it this way. The altar is always burning. If you just close your eyes and imagine an altar with an offering on it that's burning, that's the eternal sacrifice. You know, you can get saved by that sacrifice today. You can get saved last week by it. You can get saved 100 years from now by it. It's one eternal sacrifice. That's the sacrifice that we have access to through the symbolic elements of the communion. Okay, now, let's see here. Okay, we're about to receive, and I'm just going to read this before we come up and receive this. Examine ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, see, I think sometimes we receive the communion without thinking of what it's about, what it means, and we don't examine ourselves. We just, oh, okay, here's bread, here's, okay, that's nice, let's go our way. But it says that we're to examine ourselves. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or declare or acknowledge the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. It was sinful men who killed the Lord Jesus. It is repentant sinners who eat this sacrifice. Not sinful men don't eat this. Repentant sinners eat it. And so Paul now calls for repentance in those who partake of the table in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. In other words, let a man test himself, scrutinize himself, discern his condition, examine himself, and in that frame of mind, eat the bread and drink the cup. See, it's actually dangerous to eat it and drink it without examining and repenting. It says in verse 29, he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Or what does he mean by not discerning the Lord's body? Not recognizing that you've come to the sin offering. The body and the blood of Jesus. The Lamb of God. The sin offering offered for the sins of the world. You're not recognizing that when you don't examine yourself and repent. We draw condemnation to ourselves because we don't recognize the Lord's body. His body is the sin offering. When we eat the sacrifice, we make ourselves partakers of the worship. We are laying claim to that sacrifice. We are, in essence, offering it up to God. To offer the sacrifice to God while retaining sin in our heart is to make a mockery of the sin offering. And the Bible says God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked, the Bible says. And it goes on to say a little bit more. Are you ready for this? Now that we're into this subject. For this cause, because people fail to recognize the body and blood of Jesus, the sin offering, the Lord's body, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Paul is saying because we fail to judge ourselves, we fail to examine ourselves while eating this bread and drinking this cup, that many are sickly, many are dead. Notice he didn't say a few. A few are sickly and a few are dead. And this is the Bible. I mean, I didn't make this up. He said many are sickly. Many are sickly because you didn't discern the Lord's body when you received this communion. And many have died is what that actually means. Many sleep. Many have died. So as a result of not recognizing what this table of the Lord is. And it's not to scare anybody, okay? You know, the Lord loves us, all right? He loves us. We simply need to make sure that we examine ourselves, that we're not receiving it in an unworthy manner. If you're repentant and if you're examining yourself and you're repentant in your heart, you are in a worthy manner. And everything will be fine, all right? Praise God. Everything's going to be fine. Y'all okay? Didn't get too heavy for you, did I? All right, then. Don't scare anybody. That's not what it's about. But there, we do need to have a healthy respect for what we're doing. And so so we've talked about it. Let's receive it together. And what we'll do is, if everyone would kind of make your way up toward the front and then one at a time get your communion elements, and what we'll do is just gather into a semicircle around here. Amen. So that's what the sin offering is about. Well, that's what this offering is about. It's about repentance and coming to Christ and receiving the work of Calvary into our lives. So you can get born again and saved by this. We'll make sure we got everything here. That's what it's about. But you can also get delivered from just, you know, whatever has gotten into you. You know, we return to this altar periodically for the very same reason that this young man, who's now a brother in the Lord, just came. Glory to God. To receive from the goodness of God. Okay, but I'd like to take just a moment, and before we receive this and actually drink, eat and drink of it, just silently to your own self, just take a moment and just contemplate your life. Examine yourself a little. Lord, is there anything that I've been doing lately that maybe I shouldn't be doing, that maybe is grievous to you, Lord? Is any kind of sin, Father, anything I've been doing, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me right now. Just under your own breath, speak it to the Lord if there's anything. Nobody else has to hear it. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace to help us in any areas that we've had difficulty with. We ask you for your grace to be poured out right now from Calvary, Lord. Your grace to help us walk purely before you, Lord, righteously before you. Amen. And there's one area I want to touch just before we receive, because this is an area that's really tough on Christians, and that's the area of unforgiveness. We were praying for a lady over at the Vision Assembly, and she was having a difficulty with her back or feet or something, and I asked her, I said, do you have anything that you have against somebody, maybe that, you know, any kind of grudge or anything like that? Oh, yeah, my Aunt Emily or whoever it was. She just came right out with it. Oh, yeah, she did something to me years ago. I've had a hard time forgiving her. I said, well, you know, we don't really have a choice in the matter, because the Bible says if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us our sins. And so we led her in a prayer. And so I want to lead us in a prayer. Let's just repeat after me. Father, I choose to forgive. I am thinking right now about anyone and everyone I might be holding something against. And according to your word, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray for them that your blessing will come upon them mightily. Let your kingdom, Lord, and your blessing come upon them. I forgive them in the name of Jesus for anything and for everything that I perceive that they did to me. I will never again think badly of them. If I have a bad thought, I will refuse to take it. I will cast it down. And I say right now, I love them. I bless them. And I forgive them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's called freedom. Praise God. That's okay. Take the bread here. Father, I thank you for the eternal sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I tell you what, just repeat this after me. I join myself to the altar. I eat the bread. His body broken for me. Amen. Let's eat it together. Amen. Now repeat this after me. And I drink of the cup. The New Testament. In His blood. Let's drink together. Yeah, if you want to get those right now, because I want us to give a praise offering in a minute, and you can't do it with cups in your hands. So let's repeat this. There's something there. Repeat this. And I thank you now, my Heavenly Father, that I am clean before you. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. From all unrighteousness. I give you thanks. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Him some praise. Good one.